On this episode of Big Boys Don't Cry, we discuss the Netflix original film Sierra Burgess is a Loser. You don't have to have seen the film to enjoy the podcast, but if you do proceed and listen without having seen the film, just be aware that the content and the plot of the film will be spoiled for you. Enjoy.
Hello, hello.
Good evening, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Have you ever had one of those days where like you can just feel your body decaying and just like your skin flaking off as you move slowly towards death?
Have you been cursed, Paddy?
I'd started to wonder that. You know, I've had a bit of a cold all day, and then I had a headache and then a sore throat. And then, like, I'm feeling sort of okay now because I took some pills. But then a minute ago, just as I was in the bathroom getting ready to podcast, because I have to get ready in the bathroom, a fucking spider crawled out of my ear.
Crawled out of your ear?
Out of my ear. Or I felt something, like, tickling me in the ear. Like, what the hell is that? What's that? What's that? And then I looked in the mirror and, like, a spider ran out and ran down my neck.
I would definitely check your house for any upside-down crucifixes or pentagrams, because I think someone has definitely put a curse on you.
Yeah. I put a curse on you. The spider's ear curse. It wasn't a big spider. It wasn't like a tarantula. It was a pretty small spider, but a spider nonetheless.
It would need to be a small spider to crawl out of your ear, though, wouldn't it?
Thank you for not taking the easy joke and saying that I have big ears. Which I kind of actually do have big ears, but I hide them well, I think.
You don't have big ears, I don't think.
Really? I think everybody was teased about having big ears.
I think everybody has a bit of a fear about having big ears. It's one of those things that everyone's a bit worried about. But you don't have big ears.
Good, I'm glad. I mean, you're right. I never look at a person and go, oh, they've got big ears, apart from Martin Clunes. He has got big ears.
Are they big?
I think he's a good actor. But...
Or are they just quite sticky out?
That's true, actually, yeah. There is a difference between a big ear and a sticky out ear, isn't there?
And I'd say he just has ears that stick out quite a bit. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're bigger than your average ear.
That's true, because you could have ears that are sort of tall, tall lengthwise, but not necessarily that wide.
Precisely.
Have you seen that Apple released iOS 12 today, and there's a new app called Measure, and you can like live turn the camera on an object and it'll tell you how long it is? We could do that on Martin Clunes' ears.
We'll get him on the call. Martin.
Martin, thanks for tuning in, man. I know you're a big fan of the podcast. Nice to have you as our only celebrity guest ever.
Now show us your ears.
Can you just turn to the side? Sorry I was late. I had to go and be sick because I have read way too much today about Donald Trump's penis. Have you?
I have, yes. It's been a magical day. It's been a truly magical day.
Apparently it's like a mushroom.
Yeah, it's like Toad from Toad from Mario.
But isn't the thing that Toad isn't actually a mushroom? He's like a human man who's wearing like a mushroom hat.
No, he is a mushroom man.
Wait, I'm just gonna Google Toad mushroom hat. I'll probably get like Trump penis content, but whatever. Oh no, it's just come up with there's a thing in one of the Mario cartoons, maybe it's not canon, where Toad takes off his hat and he's just like a bald Eggman underneath.
The Mario cartoons are entirely non-canonical.
Yeah. Oh no. This is right. I've got this. 5th of February 2018. Toad's mushroom head is in fact... Wait, Super Mario Odyssey producer says that Toad's mushroom head isn't... Oh, for fuck's sake. No, that's not what I wanted to hear. That's literally the exact opposite of the headline. Wait. Toad's mushroom head is in fact his head, not a hat, Nintendo confirms.
Oh, yes.
God damn it.
Don't you come into my territory, mate, chatting shit about Nintendo.
This is true. I should never talk about games, and you're not allowed to say anything about books. That's how this works.
It's true. Right? I have never read a book.
You can't read.
I can't read.
That's why this podcast works, because films are basically somewhere in between books and games, right?
Yeah, so I don't have to read.
Yeah. So I don't know if it'll happen for you, but if I Google toad mushroom hat, the first result is a really creepy picture of a guy wearing like a costume toad hat from an Amazon link, and it's called Disguise Men's Mushroom Hat Costume Accessory.
I have mine's just called Adult Red Mushroom Hat.
Oh. That
I don't know what you've been looking at to get you
that does
the disturbing
sound a little bit
image.
Stormy Daniels. Wait, you've got sponsored products related to this item. This is incredible. Super Mario Ride on Yoshi inflatable costume kit, adult standard with Mario hat. So it's like a onesie. It's got like a Mario thing on the top, but then it's got a Yoshi around the crotch area. So it's like you're riding Yoshi. You know, a bit like, is it Rod Hull? Rod Hull and Yumi?
Yes,
it's like that, but with Yoshi. It could be yours for $87.36.
That is entirely worthwhile.
Free shipping. Oh, this item does not ship to United Kingdom.
Well, I've just seen something more disturbing than all the talk of Donald Trump's penis. Well, not disturbing, but just a little bit disappointing in that someone has made a sexy toad outfit to wear for Halloween.
I mean, that's where the logical end point of all this is, isn't it? I'll put those links in the show notes, because I know that Halloween's coming up, you know? If you haven't got your costume sorted yet, here's where it is. Oh, they've got a Luigi one that's only $30.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, now having searched for sexy toad outfit, there's an awful lot of them out there, and it's quite disappointing.
Yeah. I'm looking at a sexy Luigi right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of space for sexy Nintendo characters.
Yeah. Not enough hashtag Zelda content, if I'm honest. Sexy Pikachu.
Oh, of course there's a sexy Pikachu.
Yeah.
I'm now searching sexy Waluigi outfit.
If this exists, this is going to be the greatest moment of your life.
There is something called sexy purple plumber costume.
Oh, that's an unreleased Prince track, if ever I heard one.
Yeah, people have done it. People have made sexy Waluigi.
Wow, okay. It's just amazing. All of the men who are wearing the like sexy Nintendo costumes at this, apart from the Mario ones, or the men in the Toad and the Yoshi outfits, look like sort of attractive teenagers. They look like not unlike our main man Noah Centineo, aka Peter Kavinsky, aka Jamie spelt wrong in Sierra Burgess Is a Loser. All of the models who are modeling these weird Nintendo costumes look like that guy.
And Nintendo costumes would have been a welcome addition to Sierra Burgess Is a Loser, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah. That was 0 out of 20 did not include a weird Nintendo costume party.
no sexy Waluigi.
Yeah.
0 out of 20.
Well, they were just afraid of Waluigi's raw sexual energy.
That's true. It's true. Everybody is. Even Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh my god, there's a we'll get to the film, but there's a Bowser Deluxe adult costume, but it doesn't have like a rounded bit to make you look fat. So it just looks like skinny Bowser on a regular person. Other than this one, you can see the model's face underneath the Bowser mask, and he looks very unhappy.
Rightly so.
I'm really going down the rabbit hole here.
Sexy Bowser also comes up with lots of outfits.
Oh, okay.
People have turned all of these characters sexy.
This is very disturbing.
There's a lot of imagination in the video game crowd.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's another. I found another Toad one, but it's the same model wearing a different Toad costume.
Oh,
that
I
must
see.
Be a real niche, or niche, as the Americans say.
Niche.
Have you noticed this? They say niche.
I have noticed this. Much like herb.
Herbs.
And I am not having any of it. Niche.
No, herb is not a silent H.
Respect the French. Respect niche. Thank you very much.
absolutely. You got to respect the French at all times.
Always. Otherwise, they will strike and stop you from doing things.
Because Americans, they love to respect things, you know? They love to respect the flag. They love to respect their troops. They love to respect their national anthem by not taking a knee. So, you know, how hard is it to just respect the French?
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Have you heard that country song that's called I Won't Take a Knee, I'll Take a Knee My Ass?
No.
It's hilarious. This has been discussed on another podcast that I listened to called That Baseball Show, which is very good, incidentally. You should listen to it. Even if you don't like baseball, it's very funny. But they talk about it how, well, I think the title of the song is Take a Knee, comma, My Ass, and then in brackets, I Won't Take a Knee. But it's the way that it's written makes it look like he's inviting his ass to take a knee. Take a knee, my ass.
I like how they had to reiterate the meaning of the of the song title,
yeah,
just in case you didn't get it.
It's almost as if the intended audience of that song are too dumb to get it the first time around.
Never.
You taken any knees today?
I have taken multiple knees.
Good.
Not my own. I just have a collection.
Yeah, you keep them in a box.
Grabbing knees all over the shop.
Yeah.
So, Sierra Burgess is a loser.
Sierra Burgess is a dickhead, as he texted me this
that
morning.
Is what I texted you.
Or alternate title, Everyone Loves Barb.
But do they?
Well, no.
I don't.
Do you not? Did you? Okay, yeah, I didn't want to reply to this because I didn't want to, like, start arguing with you because you didn't, like, over text, because I guess that you then, would you say that you didn't like the film overall then?
I did not like
the film.
Or was
it just
overall.
Her character?
I did not like her character, therefore I did not like the film overall.
Oh, man. See, this is a shame, because I really, really liked it. I thought it was great, and I liked her, and I liked her character. I think maybe I'm a stan. This has got to the point where, as the children say, they call themselves a stan. But you can also stan something as a verb. So I got to say that I stan Shannon Purser. I think she's wonderful, and I thought it was really good.
I liked Barb. Barb's a fine, small character in a good show. That does a lot with not very much screen time. But you know how we've watched a fair few movies recently, Paddy, that have taken traditional rom-com concepts,
yep,
and modernized them, but also modernized the way based on the way that people think?
Yeah.
This missed that final step. So all Wait, it did was...
What do you mean the way that people think?
So... To all
Everyone's
the boys
just
I loved
like
before,
thinking over Snapchat these days anyway.
To all the boys I loved before, right, it takes that sort of general conceit of, yeah, let's do this little trick fake relationship thing that you would have seen in a more simple rom-com, but it developed the characters and gave them a greater understanding of who they were. And it treated those characters with a maturity that they weren't always given in previous romantic comedies or previous teen comedies. And for Sierra Burgess as a loser, all they did was they took a rom-com conceit, this time based on Cyrano de Bergerac, and they just chucked it out there, and they didn't do any of that stuff to make the characters more realistic or more relatable or more likable. They were all cartoon cutouts of various tropes. And, like, I understand there's a little bit of that with the burgeoning relationship of the friendship between between the two sort of main characters, I'd say. But
Between Sierra and Veronica.
Yes, between Sierra and Veronica, but they're still caricatures. There's nothing there. There's no nuance there for either of them. And it's just doing the same thing that we've seen in movies over and over again, this time with an added angle of horrible catfishing. It's like, cheers, I really needed that in this movie.
Ouch. I think that's really unfair, actually. Like, I thought it was nuanced, because I think what really surprised me about it was that the whole idea is, yes, she has a different body type to the ideal of feminine attractiveness, but the way that the movie starts shows her being quite confident in her personality and quite sure of herself and happy in her own skin, which I actually didn't expect. Like, if it was caricaturish, she'd have been completely one-dimensional about it all. Oh, woe is me, I can't get a boyfriend, or this, that kind of thing. but actually it was just about her discovering herself through the process of establishing a relationship with this guy initially over text and then phone, and then a situation where she kisses him while he thinks he's kissing Veronica, and then eventually it all comes crashing down because it's a conceit that can't last. But, and you know, it's also, I thought it was also nuanced that she actually ended up being meaner than you thought that she was generally, because she finds herself in a situation where she's jealous when actually she hasn't been a jealous person up until that point, but it's all about what people do in extraneous situations. So I thought there were all sorts of different aspects to her character.
But all of those different aspects were various caricatures that you've seen in movies before. You have confident characters who don't fit a traditional body type in other movies. You have that moment where the previously nice person becomes the mean person and they realize what they've done is wrong. And you have the mean girl becomes a good person. And all of those things have been done before elsewhere, and I'd say they've been done better elsewhere. And equally, I think the thing that really frustrated me, spoiler alert for this movie, it has a happy ending and they get together and it's all lovely and
don't worry,
beautiful.
I do a spoiler intro.
I know you do, but I'm just giving an additional one here because we're jumping right to the end. And there's no ramifications for that awful thing that she does. You get the sense that and the best thing about this movie by far is the friendship between Sierra and Veronica and the way that they build that. I go yep. as far as to say that the entire romantic angle of this movie is completely pointless and could have been removed. And instead it could have been all about the friendship, and that would have been a much, much better movie. But when Sierra undermines and betrays her friend Veronica, by this point they are good friends. They haven't built that stable ground between them. These aren't two friends who've been together for a very long time. It's a very fragile friendship with one, and Veronica's an unbelievably insecure individual, which is something you learn over the course of the movie. And the fact that she is so quick to forgive and to move on, I think felt again like a cheap happy ending. And so it's another one of those traditional teen rom-com tropes, bang, chuck it in, happy ending, a big display of, and I know that you don't like the big displays of affection that make everything okay, but this is like the perfect example of the big display of affection that makes everything okay.
What, from our man Peter, you mean?
No, from Sierra.
Oh, right. But her and Veronica at the end, it doesn't show them being particularly close, does it? She just hears the song and then she kind of passes it on and that's it. There's a moment where they hug at the prom.
Yeah,
but that's so, kind of it, isn't it? There's not, I didn't see that as a grand gesture.
But she recorded this song that makes everything okay. Because that's what happens in real life, is if you're incredibly mean and manipulative to people, if you then record a song for them and say, oh yeah, this explains it all, I'm a sunflower, motherfuckers, then it's all okay. Everything's fine then. It doesn't matter that you've taken the one thing that the person felt confident about, their popularity, and completely destroyed it. It doesn't matter if you've been basically lying to this person to get them to have romantic interests in you for the entire movie. It's fine. You made a song and you've got a good voice, so it's okay.
Hey, it worked for Robin Thicke.
Did it work for Robin Thicke?
No, it really did not.
It ruined his entire life.
The album that he made, that was named after his ex-wife, was like one of the biggest bombs in record label history.
It was indeed.
Yeah. And he deserves it because Blurred Lines is a rape anthem.
Yes. But I have serious problems with the portrayal of catfishing in this movie.
Yeah, I get... Well, yeah, I think I was so engrossed by the setting and the soundtrack and the way it was shot and her character and everything that I let it slide. So to me, I didn't see it as outright catfishing because she didn't go into it intending to catfish him. And that was the thing that I thought, when you see the trailer for the film, you think it's going to be that she deliberately poses as Veronica to try and catfish him, which isn't what happens. So the popular girl gives Sierra's number to him as a joke, and then they have this texting thing on and off for a little while before she gets out of him who he thinks that she is. And then it kind of builds from there, and obviously, yeah, once that is revealed, she is technically catfishing him, but she didn't start it.
No, but
he started it.
It escalates. He did not start it. It escalates dramatically from the point that she realizes that he thinks he's speaking to somebody else. Up until that point, it's all very relatively tame, but it's only after that point that things start escalating more and more and more. And there is that quite horrible point, and it's supposed to be a really sweet moment in the movie, where he thinks he's kissing someone who he's not. And I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh, think about it if it was a gender flip, because I know that a lot of the time there's a very different context to it. But think about it if it was a gender flip. It would be incredibly predatory and horrible. And it is predatory and horrible in this movie. And just because... I love all the boys, right? I love all the boys. It did a tremendous job of building...
You do love all the boys.
I do love all the boys. It did a tremendous job of building this very fragile male character wherein you see that there is this emotional insecurity. Whereas in this movie, it's seen as completely fine that he's kissing entirely the wrong person and that he's kissing this person who he didn't think he was kissing. And I think,
does it make any difference to you that it's Veronica who encourages it?
No, not at all.
Sierra?
Imagine if it was the other way around and it was a jock boy with a loser friend who's not a particularly attractive fella, and he tricks the cheerleader into kissing his unattractive friend. It's almost like a much tamer version of what happens in movies like Revenge of the Nerds, which has gone down as one of the worst examples of toxic masculinity and rape culture in cinematic history.
I've never seen it.
It's really horrible. don't watch it. It's got this sort of like cult classic like idea around it, but actually it's a really nasty movie that kind of encapsulates the idea that nerds can be just as toxic and horrible as jocks.
It sounds fucking awful.
It's terrible. It's an absolutely terrible movie, but just because it is women doing this to a man does not make it okay.
But does it make no difference to you that they've built up a genuine emotional connection over a long series of phone calls?
No, because he still thinks that he's talking to a different person to who he is talking to. And she is still, and particularly at that point when they're talking on the phone, she is still pretending to be a person that she's not. So she's not portraying her true self. She's still portraying herself as Veronica.
But I think the movie wants you to believe that she's portraying her true self.
It does, but she's not.
because you get little hints of the stuff. You see them texting back and forth just enough, not too much. It doesn't linger on like phone screens for ages, which it could easily do. But the way that they're kind of bantering back and forth and sending each other animal pictures and stuff, I think I actually wanted more of that to demonstrate their emotional connection, but I still bought it.
You buy it, but if you think about it from a realistic perspective, it still wouldn't be her being entirely herself. Because it's just not possible if you're pretending to be somebody else.
Yeah, it's not possible, but you could still forge an emotional connection with that person. And you're still the person making that connection.
But it would still be a connection built on shifting sands. It wouldn't be a real connection.
You know what else is built on shifting sands? Prince of Persia. I'm just trying to distract you while Max and Neve from the TV show Catfish come into the room and arrest me. maybe you're not doing this podcast with who you think you are.
Maybe I'm not.
Yeah. Maybe you can see my face, but actually I'm like someone else is behind the camera talking.
I think that would have been a really fitting end to this movie is if the people from Catfish turned up and were like, "You're a catfish. Get out."
They're like, "Do you understand what you've done?"
Yeah. And then you find out that Sierra Burgess has actually been doing it to about 10 other people as well.
Yeah,
because often they do.
She's got multiple identities. She's stolen people's photos. She's done all sorts of that. I feel like the way it was written was that they came up with the concept first, and then realized that for it to work and to not seem creepy, they needed it to happen with Veronica's consent, right? Do you think that's what happened?
I think that's probably what happened. I think they probably looked at all of those 90s movies that were inspired by classic literature and thought, hey, let's pick another one. Hey, Serenade Bergerac. There we go. Yeah.
Big that nose hasn't fella. Been done since Gerard Depardieu in 1990.
big nose fella. That'll do. We'll take out all of the musketeering and shit and people dying by getting tree trunks dropped on their heads. And we'll... Because that happens, doesn't it? That's how he dies, isn't it? He gets a tree trunk dropped on his head?
Something like that,
Is that right? Am I remembering it correctly, or is it a fever dream?
I've never seen any of the film adaptations, but I saw it on stage once. I think it was at the National Theatre, and I was in my teens, and it was really good. Although, friend of the podcast, Pete Hindle, has requested Cyrano de Bergerac, but he didn't say which version. So I need to go back to him and find out. But I always assumed the Gerard Depardieu version, because Gerard Depardieu, wouldn't you?
Gerard Depardieu.
He is fantastic.
He is a fantastic arsehole. did Pete mean Sierra Burgess is a loser?
No, because this was before this film even existed. He requested it like a year ago, and we still haven't gotten around to it. So sorry, Pete. It's cool. He lives in Austria. He's not going to come around and beat me up.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Yeah. I won't get beaten up. So this movie, I have big problems with it because of that. I think it's very nasty.
So it doesn't matter to you that Veronica is invested in it too?
No, because again, put this situation like in another context.
And that it's the thing that brings them together and makes their friendship develop naturally, which feels really nice.
No, because it still feels very fabricated for me. And that is the best part of the movie. It doesn't feel as bad as the rest of it is the way that their friendship grows. That's easily the best part of the film. But it still doesn't feel natural. It still feels like two cutouts being put together and slowly being woven into something a bit more complex. But imagine it the other way around. Imagine this is American Pie 17. It's frat boy McGee and loser Gerald, right?
Cyrano de Bandcamp.
Cyrano de Bandcamp. So imagine it's frat boy McGee.
It's Jason Biggs with a fake nose in a fat suit.
So you've got Jason Biggs. He's put on a lot of weight. He still looks like a teenager somehow. That's fine. And then
he's a young looking guy. I'm going to look up what he looks like.
And then you've got Hunk fella. Now, one of them picks on the other.
One of the Hemsworths. Doesn't matter which.
Yeah, one of the Hemsworths. And this one of the Hemsworths, he gives out fat Cyrano de Bergerac's number as a joke, and they start texting. But eventually they realise that they can get something out of it each way. So loser teaches jock allows this person to pretend to be him. Imagine it that way around. It's incredibly predatory. If it was in a male-focused frat boy comedy, people would be up in arms. And for me, I don't think that it matters that it's women doing it to men in this instance. And I do understand that there is a difference.
Are you saying
in a lot
it's impossible? It's completely impossible for it not to be predatory. If it wasn't a frat boy Adam Sandler style comedy, if it was actually a well thought out piece with more of an indie approach and a synth pop soundtrack.
And that's what this is. It's a, hey, look, it's got a nice synth pop soundtrack and it's all sweet. So it's fine that they're basically conning this person.
Yeah. It's just fundamentally would never work for you, even if it was men doing it to women, but if they still had that real investment in the emotional connection, everyone was consenting to it. There wasn't any kind of malicious catfishing. It was this kind of unintentional thing that gradually builds and people get in too deep. There's still no way you think it's impossible to do that in a nuanced way.
You could do it in a nuanced way, maybe. This is not done in a nuanced way. This is cheap and not particularly well thought out in the way that it portrays it. And I wouldn't say you could maybe do it in a more intelligent way if you actually talked about the problems with it instead of glossing it over, but they never talk about the problems with it.
The problems with the catfishing.
Yeah. The problems with the catfishing in this movie are, oh God, when am I going to get caught? That's the only quandary that gets pushed in this movie. They never talk about the morals of it until the end when he says, I don't want to see either of you again.
Yeah, and so she does get a comeuppance on the football field. Her sassy best friend says that what she did was wrong, and everyone's looking at her like, what the fuck? And then the next scene, everything's fine again. So that, yeah, that I think is fair enough that doesn't last. Yeah,
she doesn't have... Yeah. Nothing bad happens to her. The only bad thing that happens to her is that her friend dislikes her for about a day.
Yeah.
She has lost nothing by this endeavor. The friend that she did it with, Veronica, has lost pretty much everything. The guy who they did it to is unbelievably hurt and is clearly in a very delicate position because of it. Not to mention potentially getting head injuries because of it as well.
Well, that's American football for you. I mean, all American football players get a concussion at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Just
you not, should be playing not, baseball instead.
Not all of them get them because of the manipulations of some weirdo at the school putting up a big picture on the scoreboards.
Yeah. Which, again, that kind of escalates quickly. That is kind of uncharacteristically mean. And again, I felt like they wrote themselves into a corner and had to make her do something weirdly mean to get out of it.
Yeah, but you never see her being particularly kind in the movie. The only thing, what she's got going for is that she's believes in herself and is quick-witted. You never see her being, like, outwardly kind to anyone. In fact, one of the few comedic scenes that really works in the film is where she pretends to be a deaf person.
Yeah, which I thought was, yeah, a little bit off, actually, a little bit problematic.
The
deaf kid actor is actually deaf. So
yeah, it was
good.
It was a funny scene because it's the laughing is at her, not at deafness.
Yeah. But I found that scene really tense, actually. Also because of like the thing that she was going to be rumbled at any point. I almost couldn't watch it. But yeah, it was a bit like, oh yeah, not sure about that.
Yeah, and so when you think back at it, when I sent you the text saying Ciara Burgess is a dickhead, I didn't just mean that as a comedy. Oh yeah, she did this wrong thing at the end. You never really get the sense that she's a very nice person anywhere through the movie.
You don't think she's kind to Veronica?
Not really, because she's doing it to get something out of it.
Yeah, but after they become friends and she starts asking her like personal questions about her mum and their family and stuff, and eventually there's the scene where Veronica's bringing all the food back into the house and her mum, who wants them all to be like stick thin pageant queens, but she's actually fat, there's a whole thing there, and Veronica's just like, yeah, whatever, I'm just gonna eat this food. Like, you don't think that it's Sierra's kindness that gets her to that point where she realizes she doesn't have to be domineered by her mother?
Partly, but at the same time, you judge someone by their actions, and the only action that Ciara Burgess has done at this point in time is betraying her trust entirely. Aside from that, all she's done is try and teach her, which she was getting something else out of it at the end of the day. Apart from that, the only other thing she's done is all of the positives are on the side of Veronica, who has taken all of these risks to try and allow Ciara to get close with this guy, which itself is not a good thing to do. But from her perspective, she's doing it to be kind to Ciara Burgess at the end. She goes above and beyond the sort of like rules of their deal, doing things like getting her to kiss what's his face, Jamie.
Jamie's spelt wrong.
That's far beyond what was expected when the initial catfishing plot was agreed. So a lot of the positives are from Veronica. She's the one who's taking the risk, taking her to the party and things like that. She's the one who's putting in all the work into the friendship.
That's true, actually, and it's uncharacteristically kind of her as well. Like, actually, her character is perhaps more nuanced, because initially you think she's a very, very tropey kind of popular bitch, and then she becomes this very, very kind character. Yeah, you're right, but it's not a film that's necessarily about kindness. So do the characters have to be, when it's less about kindness and more about identity and about how people are perceived and about how those kind of things are worked around and dealt with in the age of social media, right?
Yeah, but you can make a film that's about all of those kind of things, but don't put a fucking bow on it saying this is a sweet teen rom-com. Put a load of fucking synth pop in it and try and make you feel for the characters in that way.
Are you saying you didn't like the soundtrack?
No, I really liked the soundtrack, but
I thought it was very good.
The soundtrack was good, But it, but the entire package of this movie is sweet teen rom-com. You're not supposed to think about the idea of identity and the idea of trust and things like that in this movie. You're supposed to be rooting for Sierra Burgess for her to get what she wants. But what she wants, maybe not what she wants, but the way that they go about it is incredibly unseemly. And they never ask that morality question at any point in this film.
So for you, it's just a case of the fact that what she wants is off, rather than the fact that it's the way that they deal with how she does or doesn't get what she wants, which is the essence of the story. Her desire is to keep up this relationship with the boy because it's come about and it's happened, and now she finds herself in that situation. You know, I think I liked it because, you know, when I was a teenager, I struggled a lot with body image issues, and I still do, I guess. But like, you know, I you know, you think about what would happen if you were in those kinds of situations yourself. And, you know, I was confident and I was outgoing, but if I'd have found myself in a similar situation, you know, I definitely have gone along with it and probably been rumbled much earlier, and I wouldn't have been humiliated on a football field. But there was a part of me that really identified with that aspect of it, and that allowed me to go along with it, I think.
See, I also, as a teenager, I had similar body issues, and I was not a confident person whatsoever. And even then, I could not connect with this movie, and I felt it was very cruel, even though it was trying to be a very kind film. There's a cruelness here that I don't think they recognized when they were making it.
Cruelness to the characters other than Sierra, you mean?
Yeah, well, a cruelness to Jamie in general, but there's a cruelness here. There's a lack of understanding about what catfishing is and what consent is.
And it's like you're supposed to just kind of disregard all of that because he's a sexy football player who's got it made.
Yeah, you're supposed to disregard that because she's a not conventionally attractive girl and he's a hunky football player.
Yeah.
And as long as that's in place, that's fine. You know, you can overlook that. It's all sweet and nice. No, it's not. It's not a nice thing to do, regardless of who's doing it to who.
Even though you're also supposed to believe that he's a very, very sensitive person as well, because otherwise they wouldn't be getting together.
Yeah, and that's what makes it even worse, is that he is a sensitive human being. He's a nice guy, and there's no indication given at any point that he would not be interested in her as a human being if they ever just talk to one another.
No, that's true, but that's also kind of the point, isn't it? That's kind of the point of why he shows up at the end. Because he says, you know, you are my type, which is obviously going to happen, because it's, you know, that's the kind of happy romantic comedy ending that's tacked on, when really, after that, he'd never want to talk to either of them again, and it would have ended after that football field. But yeah, that's the tacked on bit, and I thought it was fine, because that's the whole point of it, isn't it? The point is that she didn't need to do all that, but she had to go through that process to work all of that out.
But the fact that she went through that process is the entire problem.
Yeah, true. But it's not supposed to be... I don't think the film wants you to think that all of that is necessarily okay, or that it's the kind of thing she would ever do again. It's more that those are the kind of things that you might do in your teenage years and then regret, but you've been on a journey, right?
Right, but they never make any indication that it's a bad thing. And that's where the problem lies. There is no discussion about catfishing at all in this movie, or about consent, or anything like that. It's never really brought up. It's this huge central conceit to the plot, and they never discuss whether it's the right thing to do or not, really. Instead, they focus on what the outcomes will be for the characters in a positive manner.
Yeah.
Or if they'll get rumbled and embarrassed. And that's the only extent of it. It's entirely on the perpetrators of the lie.
It's about their confidence issues. It's not even really about him. It's about them.
Yeah, well, it's about Sierra Burgess's confidence issues.
Yeah, but Veronica's are dealt with as well.
They are, but they're not dealt with in a way that is unbelievably predatory and nasty. Aside from her own use of it to support Sierra.
Yeah, that's true. But I think because of that, because the focus was so much on her and we didn't actually get that much of his feelings, I didn't feel invested in him and I didn't care.
Yeah, but again, think of it the other way around. It's a very nasty thing to do. And
yeah, of course. I don't think that film, if you tried to make that film, it would ever get off the ground if you were trying to do it the other way.
No, it wouldn't these days, and rightly so. And
yeah, because of toxic masculinity.
And this idea should not have got off the ground either, I'd say. Because catfishing is something that affects both genders, and it is a not very pleasant thing to do to somebody.
Yeah. Oh, of course, yeah. That's terrible. But so if we look at the source text then, Cyrano de Bergerac, is he a catfish?
Yeah, he's a fucking dickhead.
So you don't like him either?
No, of course not. If you look at any comedy from history, most of them now are absolutely awful. So you look
so
at
saying the he deserved to die under a tree.
He definitely deserved to have a tree trunk drop on his head. Yeah, you look at a lot of historical comedies and things like that, and sort of like historical romances and things like that, and a lot of them are actually quite nasty. You look at a lot of sort of like the work of Molière and things like that, that are supposed to be more sort of like you're supposed to be more sympathetic to characters who on a modern reading are actually quite vicious individuals.
Yeah. You don't feel like she learned anything?
No. the coda to the movie shows literally no lessons learned by her. The only person who learns anything out of it is Veronica.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the plot summary. Let's see. She writes a song called Sunflower and sends it to Veronica as an apology. Veronica sends the song to Jamie. See, she apologizes to Veronica.
Yeah, she says sorry through it. She says sorry through a great act of love.
Yeah.
Because that's how life works.
You do one song on your Casio tone.
You do one song and then everything's okay. It doesn't matter if you basically ruin the end of someone's teenage years for them.
Well, they're all fine, though, because at the end, you got the little montage, like in an 80s film, where it says what they're all up to now, and it told you that everyone was fine.
So everybody's fine and happy. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've certainly made me see it in a very, very different light. Because, you know, watching it, I felt very invested in it, and I very much enjoyed it. But you're right that there are a lot of issues with it that, you know, really, really struggle to make it sort of make sense.
Yeah. I had serious problems with this movie. I thought it was quite nasty underneath the surface, and the sheen on it was not enough to take away that. And they could have made something good out of it. They could have either cut out all of the catfishing bullshit entirely because it was pointless, ignore the fact that it's supposed to be based on Cyrano de Bergerac, and instead...
But that's a different film.
And yeah, and so make a different movie. That's what yeah. I'm saying.
What they should have made is Opposite Day.
They should have made Opposite Day. Yeah, they could have cut that out and just had a movie about a growing friendship between two people that would never necessarily have been friends. Or they could have made an adaptation of the original source material and set it in a modern day, and they could have actually reflected on the morality of it. But they didn't, and that's where the problem lies. Whereas you've got other movies nowadays that are coming out that are actually talking about these kind of things and making those kind of understandings, this movie did none of that, and that's where the issue lies.
But you're right. It wasn't trying to do any of that. I don't think it was really trying to make you think, was it? It wasn't trying to be some kind of big intelligent film. It was trying to be another Netflix rom-com in the same vein as I Love All the Boys. It was released around the same time, I think, for a reason. And you know, I think it was trying to be slightly knowing about that with the source material, but yeah, you're right. It didn't quite reach those heights. But I guess it made it look like it was trying to and dealt with some complex issues without diving in.
Yeah, the bar has been made much higher, and this movie did not do that. You can make a movie that's much smarter if you're going to try and deal with these things. And they didn't try and do that.
Yeah, you're right. See, I guess I went into it really, really wanting to like it. You know, I think the trailer looked good. The music was good. It had someone in it who I really, really liked. All the whole cast I really, really liked, especially Veronica's mum. Her name is Chrissy Metz. She is from the show This Is Us. Have I talked about this show
before? Yeah.
Which is really, really good. It looks like it should be totally corny and terrible, but it is actually really, really good. And her performance in that show is absolutely outstanding and deals really well with body image issues. But so I think I just went into it wanting to like it, really. And I was too tired to find it problematic, because I watched it up and down on the trains all weekend between our show on Saturday night and my two baseball games on Sunday. And it was just this kind of nice light relief from all of those for me. So I guess that's a lot to do with the context. I didn't have my I want this to be problematic hat on.
See, I wanted to like it in the same way. And I wanted to have another nice, because you've had a few of these now, of these good modern rom-coms. And I wanted it to follow in the suit of the others, but it's a really problematic movie. And although I didn't go into it wanting to do that, and I saw that there'd been a bit of bad press about the film, and I deliberately didn't read any of that because I wanted to make up my own mind. And I'm aware that a lot of the time when that bad press comes out, it's often done with a bit of hyperbole to try and get the clicks in and things like that. But I had real issues with this movie. I think it's a quite mean-spirited film that doesn't understand why what it's doing is wrong.
Yeah, I'd say all of that is fair. And I guess that's the thing about so many of these films, is that a lot of that stuff can be overlooked if you engage with it on a superficial level. And like, rom-coms have been getting away with this kind of shit since the dawn of time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a shame. I now feel really, really bummed out.
I'm sorry. The whole thing. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I wanted it to be good. I think it's kind of, I wanted, because I was so happy about the representation of an atypical body type in a romantic situation. I guess I'm too easily pleased on that point of view. And I guess those kind of things, the more and more we have this in films, the better it will get, right?
But don't you also think that there's an issue with that, in that it's showing that the only way that she can make that initial connection with someone is by pretending to be someone else and not showing her true body?
Yeah.
There's even issues there with its portrayal of sort of nonconformity in traditional, like, beauty norms.
Yeah, exactly. But the obstacle to that is her confidence, it's her own issue rather than the societal pressures as such. So if she did go in and go up to him in a different situation and she was really confident and then he rejected her, but that would then be seen as conforming to those stereotypes, right? So it's a difficult line to walk.
Yeah, but I think the fact that it tries to do it through lying to be someone who is traditionally attractive, and again, never really addressing it, is a problem in itself. So I'd say that it even kind of gets that wrong. It's paper thin. What makes this movie interesting is paper thin, and underneath you've got a mixture of boring normality and boring tropes and something a bit nastier.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's all fair. It's just, I'm a sucker for those kind of soundtracks, I guess.
Yeah, the soundtrack's really good. It's a really great score.
Yeah. Did you not at least think it was more interesting than most kind of teen rom-coms, though? It's not just a case of, boy and girl, what's in the way? Probably there'll be some kind of bet plot or something, or some reason like that. Those kind of older, like, more tropey plots. Did you not think it was more interesting than a lot of high school movies from that point of view, dealing with stuff like catfishing and texting and more contemporary issues? Or is all that stuff just kind of a huge problem? Because it's so hard to get that kind of thing right. I mean, I'm sure, I'm 30 years old. Maybe to me, like, maybe to someone who is 17, all of this stuff is complete nonsense.
I mean, it made me angrier than your normal rom-com, if that's anything.
That's an achievement.
It's an achievement. Normally I can just phase out and just be like, oh yeah, okay, I see where this is going. And this genuinely made me angry. So, mission accomplished movie, if you were going for that kind of intense emotional reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, at least it's getting people to talk. That's
yes. A good thing. Yeah, and I'm hoping, I'm going to go and read up about all of the reaction that the movie's got, and I'm hoping that a lot of it is going to be talking about consent and about catfishing and about this kind of thing and why it's not cool that the movie has done things in this way.
I'm looking at it right now and you're pretty much right.
Cool, okay, good.
Yeah, lots of stuff about, yeah, it fails to make catfishing romantic. I really tried to like it, but catfishing isn't romantic, etc. Yeah, which is all fair.
So what I'm saying is that I'm hoping that Sierra Burgess gets dragged off to the Upside Down by the Demigorgon, and she can fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, that you could easily just mash up those two things. I mean, I'm sure someone with a lot of time on their hands has already done that on YouTube.
Yeah. And if they haven't, I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Yeah. As I would do that, but I'm still halfway through making a video of, there's a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays called Joe Biagini, who's like quite a notoriously dry and witty guy. And they have this thing called the Players Weekend, where they all choose what they have on the back of their jerseys, and his is Joe the Great, which is a Seinfeld reference, and he like revealed in this interview that he's a massive Seinfeld fan. So I'm halfway through making this video of him pitching to Seinfeld base.
Amazing.
It's taking a long time. I'm very busy. I wish I had time to make dumb YouTube videos. My life would probably be very different.
That would be nice, yeah. I like it when I do have the time to. The last good one that I made... I made the Captain Corelli's mandolin ones most recently,
yeah.
Didn't I?
No, I did. Yeah, I did do. I was very proud of my one for that, actually.
Yeah.
That was a very good challenge. Can we do some kind of challenge here? The Sierra Burgess challenge? Cut it in with other films to make it not weird and catfishy?
You could have it where Sierra Burgess is actually like a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
That would be good. A 40-year-old man preying on a teenage boy.
Or cut the dialogue in with Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah, yeah. Just cut it with those scenes from Monkey Dust where it's the paedophile talking on the computer. That would work.
That's gruesome. I'd rather the scenes where the guy has been... That's the plot of The Lord of the Rings, Clive, where have you really been?
Yes, that would be good. Clive... is I think we've talked about Monkey Dust already on this podcast, but if anybody hasn't watched it, it was this really good little animated comedy show on the BBC during the New Labour era, and it was a really good sort of like dissection of British culture at that point in time.
Yeah, it was very good. We have talked about it on this podcast a fair few times, but it's always worth mentioning again because I feel like it doesn't get talked about much anymore. And a lot of the stuff was actually quite topical as well. The stuff about chat rooms and paedophiles and prisoners and stuff. It's not for the faint of heart, but a lot of it is very, very good.
Yeah, it is quite a vicious show. It's one of the darkest comedies around, I'd say.
It's vicious, but it's not mean-spirited.
No, it's very clever. It's a very smart movie.
Yeah. Well, I hope you will not hold this film against its cast when they pop up in other films.
Of course not. I'm a bit concerned about the writer being involved in a fair few big projects, though.
Lindsay Beer.
Who is writing lots and lots of adaptations and remakes of previous movies. So Sierra Burgess is a loser. Then she's working on the Masters of the Universe screenplay, aka He-Man.
Is that a live-action thing?
I don't know. They did make a
live-action He-Man?
They made a live-action He-Man back in the 80s with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, shit. I did not know that.
But I don't know. I don't know whether this one will be animated or not. Then she's in the writer's room for Godzilla vs. Kong, the Godzilla King Kong movie.
Is that really something that requires multiple writers?
Definitely, because you need multiple people to control each of the limbs from a writing perspective. and that's being directed by Adam Wingard, who's one of my bros, who's directed some fairly good horror movies.
Your main man, Adam Wingard. But wait. I'm looking at her IMDb page. Dungeons and Dragons screenplay 2021. Yep. Why does that need to exist when we already have a perfect Dungeons and Dragons movie?
We do have a perfect Dungeons and Dragons
movie. Is it Jeremy Irons?
Jeremy Irons, riding a dragon. What else?
I went to see that film in the cinema with my dad.
I stand for that movie. I love that film.
It is so good.
Yeah.
All I remember is Jeremy Irons chasing a big eye monster down a long corridor.
Yeah. Yep, there's a big eye monster. There's the guy who played Jimmy in the Superman TV series as the hero. I remember that much as well.
Justin Whalen.
Then we've got Short Circuit. She is writing the Short Circuit movie. Do you remember Short Circuit?
Yeah. Is that a robot?
Johnny Five, who's a military robot who gets struck by lightning and then realizes he doesn't want to be a killing robot and runs away and makes friends with people.
I'm confusing it in my head with Batteries Not Included, which is a very underrated film.
Batteries Not Included is amazing. And then there's a Silver Sable movie she's working on, which is a Marvel movie.
Yeah. So she's working on a lot of stuff that is very, very different to Sierra Burgess's A Loser, and perhaps that tells you that she has a sensibility and a temperament that perhaps did not allow her to assess her script in terms of the character's kindness and, as you say, the mean-spirited nature of it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I this is the only thing I've seen from her, and it looks like it's the only thing she has from a writing perspective. So I wouldn't want to cast those kind of assumptions. But I'm intrigued about the fact that she's now working on, or she's been announced as a writer for two movies based on toy lines from the 1980s plus Dungeons and Dragons.
That is quite interesting.
Which is, yeah, I didn't even realize they were making a Mask movie, for instance.
Godzilla versus Kong. I mean, that's, even though they're more well-known characters, to me that will not be any better than Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. It's the same shit, isn't it?
Well, did you watch the most recent Godzilla movie?
No, I did not.
It was quite cool the way
I have
it
books
built
to
it.
Read.
And the most recent King Kong movie was really, really good.
I did hear good things about
that. Yeah, that was great. So I actually am quite looking forward to Godzilla versus Kong. And as long as Godzilla doesn't start catfishing anybody in the movie, I think I'm going to enjoy it a lot more than Sierra Burgess is a Loser.
Yeah, Godzilla accidentally gives his number gets given to King Kong. King Kong thinks he's texting a female gorilla, but he's in fact texting Godzilla.
He thinks he's texting Mothra. So I'm quite looking forward to that. I think that might be quite good fun. And you never know about Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, could be good.
If it's got some dungeons and some dragons in it.
As long as Jeremy Irons returns.
Yeah, get him involved.
If he isn't too busy marrying his own son to avoid tax. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I remember reading his comments at the time and thinking, what an absolute idiot.
That is some of the most horrible stuff I've ever heard anyone say on the news.
Yes.
But I hope him and his son are happy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, okay. I've stumbled across an article on popsugar.com. Sierra Burgess is a Loser. Here's what we know about a potential sequel. You'd love that, wouldn't you?
Get in the fucking bin. Get out.
It's one of those articles with a lot of conjecture based on tweets.
She's off at college and she catfishes someone else and it's all fine. And then at the end, her boyfriend's like, oh, but you catfish someone else, but it's okay. You wrote me another song. It's fine. And then they kiss in the rain.
Yeah, 0 out of 20. They didn't kiss in the rain. I don't think it will get a sequel.
I don't think so, because it's had quite a lot of bad backlash.
It seems to have had a fair amount of backlash.
It hasn't resonated in the way that they wanted. And there's a quite obvious reason why. So I can't imagine that they're going to make a sequel anytime soon.
Yeah. And it's interesting how with these kind of Netflix films that it's kind of make or break, isn't it? That everyone loves I Love All the Boys because it was a really popular Netflix film that busted a few stereotypes, so it was mostly just a bit of harmless fun. Whereas if they turn out like this and they're problematic, everyone's unhappy.
Yeah,
but Netflix can afford to deal with that, can't they?
They can.
If anything, it's going to get more people to watch the film. Because if it's a film in the cinema that you're going to have to pay to see, you'd be like, I ain't watching that. But if it's on Netflix and you've heard that this film's problematic, it's more likely to make you want to see it. So it's probably doing very well on their figures, I'd imagine.
Although I doubt that many people would be telling their friends about it.
Apart from to slag it off.
Apart from to slag it off. And I'm not going to lie, if I was watching this for something other than the podcast, I probably would have turned it off after about half an hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I could see where it was going. It went exactly where I was intending it to go. Exactly where I was expecting it to go. And so, yeah, I wouldn't have stuck around. So one thing to bear in mind as well is, and I know that there was a little bit of a gap. There's about, what, a couple of weeks between them?
Yeah.
But I think in terms of viewership, or at least in terms of a resonance with people, there is a big difference between To All the Boys I Loved Before and Sierra Burgess is a Loser.
Yeah.
In that, if you look at IMDb, and I know this is just one example of it, but IMDb, there's already 33,000 ratings for To All the Boys I've Loved Before, whereas Sierra Burgess is a Loser doesn't have 10,000 yet.
Right, okay. So at the same point, you don't think it's doing as well?
So I don't think it's... And people will... This will fade out of people's... hyperbolic news articles quite quickly.
Yeah,
people will say this is dodgy. It's weird. It doesn't treat catfishing very well, and then it will disappear. Whereas things like To All the Boys I Loved Before will end up in like the best romantic movies of the year list for people, or here's some romantic movies you want to watch on Netflix, and it will turn up in those lists for the next probably 3 or 4 years. So it's going to get that longevity just by people recognizing it as a good movie. Whereas this, after that initial spike of interest because of the controversy, that then going to disappear because, quite simply, there's not enough in this movie to warrant talking about it.
Yeah, you're right. But at the same time, it's still better than being mediocre.
Yeah, more people will probably watch this than they would a mediocre film that's all right, but there's nothing there to generate any kind of interest.
Yeah, you're right. Well, the good news is that the bottom of the news bar on IMDb says Sesame Street says characters don't have sexual orientations, even if writer claims Bert and Ernie are gay.
Yeah, I saw that. It's been a weird day for news. You had Sesame Street coming out and saying that Bert and Ernie aren't in a gay relationship together.
Of course they are.
You had Toad trending on Twitter for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. This has just been a really, really weird day. I think I've had a weird couple of days. I must have just taken a knock on the head or something. I did actually get hit by a pitch in the baseball game, which was really painful, but not on the head. So
where did it hit you?
On the wrist.
Oh, that's bad though.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not even bruised, but it does still hurt a little bit. But I deserved it because I enjoyed a catfish film, and I am a catfish.
You thoroughly deserved it, Paddy, for that.
But isn't it interesting, just to kind of round it off, how there are some actors who you really, really like. If they're in something like that, you're willing to forgive, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I don't think anyone being in this movie would have made me think, I'll forgive it for the bad plot.
I think it's a bit of, I really like Ryan Gosling and I allowed him to commit some sins in La La Land. It's much of the same thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and I really love La La Land. I hate La La Land.
I was going to say, that's not what you said on episode 6 of this show, sir.
I love Ryan Gosling. He's great. And again, I don't think I have that same attachment as you do. I have more of an attachment to movies than to actors.
He's just got a beautiful face.
He does have a beautiful face. But I would not let him catfish someone in a movie.
No. Even if they built up a genuine emotional connection.
Yeah, but I'm waiting for a movie where they build up a genuine emotional connection, Paddy.
Yeah, that's the thing. They didn't give you enough of that.
There's nothing in here. It's a puff. It's a whiff of fart.
It's puff pastry.
It's not even puff pastry. Puff pastry is good. This is a bubble in a sewer.
Oh, that sounds like something from the Upside Down.
if you want to watch something quite bad with Shannon Purser in, I highly recommend that you watch the movie Wish Upon, which is where a girl
I have not heard
I think she inherits a magic box that gives her wishes, but all of the wishes come with terrible consequences.
Ooh.
And she's in that, and it's really bad.
Okay, all of the Google images are just of like young girls screaming open-mouthed.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It looks
awful.
It's a terrible movie, but it is more fun and less problematic than Sierra Burgess as a Loser. And you know what? It actually deals with the moral implications of getting a horror box that grants you horrible wishes.
Oh, it is one way to talk about iOS 12.
Rimshots.
Take that, Apple! Yeah, take your Apple event and your giant iPhones and stick them. Hey, yeah, it's all amazing. We released an iPhone that's the same size as your old iPad. How do you like that? Buy it for $1,000.
I like how
there's
literally two improvements versus a load of negatives, and they still expect people to pay $1,000 for a new one, and they willingly will do.
Yeah. It's extremely not good.
It's fucking shit. I've got an iPhone. It's an old one, but I genuinely think that when the time comes that this one expires, I'll probably move back to Android, because Android has never treated me like crap, and it's much cheaper.
Well, when you change your number, I'm going to catfish you.
No, I'll keep the same number. You can still try and catfish me if you like.
Yeah, new phone, who dis?
Hey, it's Ryan Gosling. Who's this?
Yeah, I'll send you a shirtless picture of Ryan Gosling. Like, hey.
Hey, you up?
Yeah. You want to go to the cinema? And then I'll get Ryan Gosling to go with you, but I'll sit in the row behind you and stare at you.
And
jealously.
Then he's going to make me close my eyes when I fist bump him, and then I'm secretly going to be fist bumping you.
Yeah. But you'll recognize the curves of my fist.
Yes. And be like, wait a minute.
I know those hairy knuckles.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Well, I think that's enough to do then. So I'll say that I did enjoy it. There was a lot about it that I liked. But having spoken to you, I obviously realized that it is problematic. And there are a lot of issues with it that do really, really sour it. But at the same time, I think the cast are very good, and the music was very good, and there are things to like about it. So do watch it and try and make up your own mind. But the consensus seems to be that it's bad and problematic. So I am on the wrong side of it, because I stan Shannon Purser. End of. That's my piece.
Yeah, I recommend watching it, because I think, you know, you can't just take my word for it on this. I think you need to make up your own mind. But I'm fairly confident in my position, particularly given the way that other people seem to have thought about this movie as well. And the positives in it don't outweigh the negatives. It could have been an interesting movie if they'd done something very different with it. But instead, it's a tame film where you'll recognise what's going to happen. And underneath it all, there's this seedy underbelly. It's like Mos Eisley Cantina in Star Wars.
A wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Exactly. Sierra Burgess is the weird spider-faced guy who gets his arm cut off by Obi-Wan Kenobi.
She doesn't like you.
I've been catfishing in 12 systems.
Yeah, Sierra shot first.
So I don't have any trivia about this movie.
No, I think we've talked about it all, haven't we?
So
did you know, okay, here's some trivia. Did you know she's a sunflower?
I did know that she's a sunflower. I think that means that you cut her down and then you make oil out of her.
Yeah, it's good for cooking.
Yeah, you roast up her seeds and then you use that oil to cook up some bacon.
Yeah.
That was the general message I got from her song.
Roast it.
Yeah, exactly. So how are we going to rate this? How many boys would you catfish out of 20?
Yeah. Or just how many text messages would you go through with it before it becomes problematic? Before it becomes true catfishing?
Yes.
What's your catfish text limit?
Yeah, okay. Do you want to go first or shall I?
Yeah, I'll go. I'm going to give it a 13 because I still want to try and be nice to it and admit that there are things about it that I think are really good. So, you know, I really, really wanted to like it, but I think it can't go any higher than that because of the issues with it, as you've suggested.
Yeah, and I'm
guessing you're going to plumb the depths.
Yeah, this film really made me angry and I really hated it and it bummed me out. And yeah, so I'd have got 5 texts in before I realized what I was doing was wrong, which wow. is what Sierra Burgess should have done. And so
do you want to hazard a guess as to how where that scores in relation to how you scored the Bridges of Madison County?
Oh God. Where does this sit in comparison to Bridges of Madison County?
Do you think you scored it higher or lower?
I think I scored it maybe the same.
No, you gave the Bridges of Madison County a 7.
Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah. So I stand by that.
This is worse than the Bridges of
this
Madison County.
This movie is worse than the Bridges of Madison County.
Amazing.
And so I would give it lower than that just because the core concept of the movie is so disastrous. But I really liked what they did with the growing of the friendship between Veronica and Sierra. And that element of the movie was quite good. It's just the rest of it is a nightmare.
Yeah.
It comes out of your wardrobe at night, covered in tentacles, and says, "Like me, ignore the problems with my script.
Listen to my synth pop song."
"Don't you like my synth pop? Isn't it emotional? I'm a sunflower." And then it opens up like the monster out of The Thing with this mouth in the middle of its chest, and out comes a mutant sunflower with teeth instead of petals.
Isn't that basically what the Demogorgon is?
It basically, yeah. The Demogorgon is I love Stranger Things, you know this, but it is basically just
Stranger
throwing
Things is
together.
Genuinely one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
But all it does is just throw together all of the 80s good things into one program.
Yeah, that's why it's good.
That's all it is. There's not that much originality there. It's a lot of stuff thrown into one thing.
Okay, well, we officially have a new record for biggest score differential.
Oh, really?
Of 8. Can you remember what the previous differential was?
I can't remember, no.
It's not one where I've scored it higher. It's one where I scored low and you scored high. A mere 9 episodes ago.
Oh, what was it?
It's a film that I fucking hated and that you were sort of lukewarm about, but didn't mind about some of its highly racist portrayals that I cared about a lot because it was portraying my people.
Oh, a P.S. I Love You.
Yeah. You gave it an 11, I gave it a 4.
There was... That movie was nowhere near as bad as this movie, Paddy.
Much worse. So offensive on so many levels.
Speaking of offensive, Sierra Burgess is a Loser is one of the most offensive movies I think we've watched for this podcast.
P.S. I Love You is infinitely more offensive to
me.
It's the film that says that all Irish men are musicians and like to drink.
Those are two entirely accurate things, Paddy.
It's racist. What you're saying right now is that catfishing is worse than racism, and I think that's extremely problematic.
Every Irish man, if you give them a guitar, they know how to play the guitar. It's natural to them.
Them want the Fairy Tale of New York played at their funeral.
All of them want the Fairy Tale of New York played
even
at their funeral.
Even though it's a Christmas song.
Even when it's the heat of summer, that's what they want.
Your favourite song, The Fairy Tale of New York.
Yes. Yeah, this movie was terrible, Paddy.
Well, Gerard Butler had to apologise to the whole of Ireland for his offensive accent. So until Shannon Purser has to issue a blanket apology to some kind of community, I will not accept that this film is worse than PSI.
Well, I think she probably, maybe she shouldn't, but somebody should apologise for this film. It's fucking shit. It's nasty. It's a nasty.
You should apologize. Movie. Apologize to the catfishing community.
They should say. Well, no, the catfishing community probably loves it because it's made them look much more sympathetic than they really are. Yeah, that someone should apologize for this movie. It's really a nasty film. Get out. Get out. I banish you from this podcast, you bastards.
We've still both scored it higher than the 50 Shades trilogy.
Yeah. It's not as horrible as the 50 Shades movies.
That's just to put it in context.
Yeah.
It's not as disgusting as the 50 Shades films.
No, but I would rather watch. How did this score in comparison to Twilight?
Let's see. Twilight is, I gave it a 6, you gave it a 7, average score of 6.5.
Yeah, this movie is worse than Twilight, so I'm pleased the scores.
I managed to drag the average up, but for you, it's worse.
This is crap. I hated this film.
And still better than Baywatch to you. You gave Baywatch a 4.
Yeah, this is still better than Baywatch.
Yeah,
it's a nasty movie, but it's still better than Baywatch. That. Oh dear. So up next, I have a movie that was recommended by your other half.
Mm-hmm.
It's another movie that's available on Netflix, but not a entirely new release. But since we are now into, we had the Conkers falling the other day, around Sussex. So I feel
send you a picture. Oh, I forgot to take a picture of our garden full of dead acorns. It was literally covered like a carpet from the acorn tree. I couldn't see the grass. It was unbelievable. I spent like about 2 hours getting them all off the lawn, which was great fun.
Oh, amazing.
And today it was so windy that I almost lost my glasses.
Almost lost your glasses? Bloody hell.
Yeah, I took them off to polish them, and then a sudden and unexpected but potent gust came by and almost knocked them out of my hand.
Speaking
while I was walking
of
over Blackfriars Bridge.
Speaking of sudden and unexpectedly potent gusts, that's exactly what this movie was. Yeah,
is that what it's called?
That was its original working title.
Unexpected.
but yeah, so the next movie, because we're now getting properly into autumn, we're going to watch it's a TV movie, which is always good. When it specifies TV movie, you know you're in for a treat. It's a little film called Harvest Moon.
Okay.
And
like the video game?
Unfortunately, it is not based on the video game. I would be all over that bad boy. Instead, it's about a woman who lives in the city who goes to the country to run a pumpkin farm.
Yes, this sounds extremely good.
Yeah, I thought you might enjoy it. And hopefully it'll be a nice palate cleanser.
I like a good pumpkin farm. Yeah, that's the thing. We need to cleanse our palates by watching something that's just kind of a bit kind of standard generic rom-com that you'd watch on one of the telly channels, don't we?
Yeah, I want people in this movie cooking up all sorts of pumpkin-based stuff.
Yeah, no Netflix originals for a while.
No. So I don't think this... it's available on Netflix, but I don't think it was made for Netflix. I think it's one of those Hallmark Channel movies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a Hallmark Channel.
So... you know, it's going to be good in a way.
Excellent. Yeah, TV movie 2015.
Excellent stuff, yes.
Sweet. That sounds very good. Okay, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that's it for me. I think I've ranted enough.
Yeah, I think that'll do. You giving you enough of an excuse to spew your hate.
Oh dear, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've got to go and talk to my friends Max and Neve, so we'll leave you all. And just to say, if you like what we do, leave us a rating, review on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, much appreciated. Drop us a line, you know, we'd love to hear what you made of Sierra Burgess is a loser. Is she a dickhead? Just text us, Sierra Burgess is a whatever, fill in the blank. Like Cards Against Humanity, fill in the blank.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to know. Yeah. Is she a hero? Is she a dickhead?
Yeah. So email us, bigboysdon'tcrypodcast@gmail.com. Twitter us at bigboysdon'tpod. Tweet us. God, I'm so fucking tired. And we'll be back next week to talk about Harvest Moon, not the Neil Young album.
Alrighty.
All right.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.